Northern Lake County in Illinois is under a flash flood warning. Elsewhere, partly sunny skies along with warmer weather can be expected for the rest of the work week, with heat indices topping 100 degrees each afternoon through Friday from Illinois southward. High temperatures today will range from the mid-70s across northern Wisconsin to near 100 degrees across west-central Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the mid-60s across northern Wisconsin to near 80 degrees across western Missouri. The forecast for East Central Illinois. Before we get to that, I'll let you know that the National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a heat advisory, which is in effect until 7 p.m. this evening. The dangerous levels of heat and humidity will increase the risk of heat-related illnesses. And this heat advisory affects all of Central Illinois and all of the counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area. Now the forecast this afternoon, mostly sunny, hot and humid. Look for a high of 93 with heat indices ranging from 100 to 105 degrees. The wind from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 75 and a south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, the high 95. Expect heat index readings of 102 to 107. The wind will be out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s and a light southwest wind. Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll see a high in the low 90s with heat indices ranging from 100 to 105. The wind light and from the southwest. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the low 70s. The outlook for Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. At noon Central Time, temperatures ranged from the 70s north to the 90s south. Many northern locations reporting cloudy skies. That would be where the thunderstorms rolled through a little bit earlier. Sunshine reported central and south. At Rockford, it was 75 degrees, 71 at O'Hare. In Bloomington and Mattoon, 87 degrees. Carbondale reported 91 degrees. At South Bend, 76. Lafayette, 89. 91 at both Indianapolis and Terre Haute. Willard Airport reported 87 degrees at the top of the hour. The dew point, 76, giving us a heat index of 97. The relative humidity, 69%. The wind out of the south at 12. The barometric pressure, 29.94, and steady. And at 1240, 90 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. A group of conservative Republicans in the U.S. House has come out against a debt limit plan proposed by their leader, Speaker John Boehner. They include an outspoken freshman from Illinois, Representative Joe Walsh. Walsh has been all over cable TV, and his spitfire style differs strongly from a fellow freshman Republican in a neighboring district. Illinois Public Radio's Sam Hudzik reports.
Joe Walsh won his ticket to Congress by just 290 votes. The 1/1000ths of a percentage point upset over Democrat Melissa Bean was credited to the Tea Party movement. He's shown zero interest in playing it safe and a lot of interest in getting attention.
President Obama quit lying.
Walsh recently taped a video and posted it on YouTube, accusing the president of manufacturing the debt ceiling deadline and claiming the country will have enough cash to cover its immediate needs.
I know you have a willing media that protects everything you say and do, but have you no shame, sir?
Walsh is a prolific user of Twitter and an eager guest on cable news, where he's accused the president of acting like a 10-year-old. He staked out a far-right position over the country's rising debt and the debt limit, dismissing a fail-safe plan from Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell as cut, run, and hide, and rejecting the most recent proposal from Speaker Boehner.
The crisis is so severe that it demands a game-changing solution. And with all due respect to my speaker, this is not a game-changing solution.
Walsh is insisting that any debt ceiling increase be tied to congressional passage of a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, and he has no patience for a proposed bipartisan commission to craft future budget cuts.
We're past that kind of stuff. We're losing this great country of ours.
I appreciate Joe Walsh's honesty and his frankness.
Bob Cook has been watching the debt ceiling debate from Lake County, Illinois. He's Republican Party chair in the county, which spans both the 8th district, represented by Walsh, and the 10th, represented by another freshman Republican, Bob Dold. When I asked Cook which congressman has done more to inspire party activists, he took pains to say good things about both. But his words contained a telling enthusiasm gap.
Joe Walsh is going to get in their face and confront them and go after it. He's an open book. 100%, you know, let's go after it.
Contrast that to Cook's cautious description of Bob Dold.
The thing about Bob is he is so competent, and he's just, you know, he's going to think everything through. Make sure that what he's doing is exactly the right thing to do.
Dold represents the same North Shore swing district that now Senator Mark Kirk did, and his style is much like Kirk's, balanced, moderate, and sometimes nuanced to the point of cagey.
I'm looking to try to see if I can't work with anybody that will sit down and work with me to try to solve the problems that we face.
Dold, like Walsh, talks of the problems facing the country if the budget isn't cut, but he's called for a bipartisan debt ceiling deal. Left himself wiggle room on taxes and taken a strikingly softer tone than Walsh. He's also refused to comment on his fellow freshmen's rhetoric.
Joe is going to do what Joe wants to do, as are the other freshmen. What I need to do is be able to get out there and try to communicate with my constituents, the people that I represent.
Who he represents will change over the next year because of the once-a-decade redistricting process. It's led to a more Democratic-friendly map, which could pit Republican incumbents against each other. The chair of the state GOP, Pat Brady, recognizes the tough elections ahead and has nothing but praise for his party's freshman congressman, however different their individual styles.
Everybody represents their district, but all of them have been consistent on the principles on which the Republican Party is founded.
But which style is most effective?
That's up to them to determine. It's a dangerous thing, a state party chairman, to tell someone what their style should be. Different places, different styles work very effectively.
Brady adds, they all won last time, so they must have done something right. I'm Sam Hudzik.
McDonald's announced plans yesterday to make the Happy Meal healthier. French fries are to come in smaller portions, and there will be fresh fruit in every kid's meal. The company says it's making these changes because it's been listening to customers. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on one of McDonald's strategies, connecting with moms, even those who are not McDonald's best customers.
If you happen to transport yourself into the California home of Stefania Pomponi Butler, a.k.a. City Mama Blogger, you'd likely be pulled into a scene of domestic bliss. Monday, she was canning spicy nectarine pickles. After posting a beautiful photo on her blog, she wrote, "I whipped up these this afternoon with the girls," as if this is something all of us moms do.
We love to cook. We love to have parties. We love to eat, and none of that has changed just because I'm a mom.
You might expect that this foodie mama would have nothing to do with fast food, but turns out she finds herself in McDonald's every once in a while.
I mean, it's definitely not an everyday occurrence, but, you know, it serves a time and a place. I think it's more drive-through than anything.
And she says she always orders the apple dippers instead of French fries for her girls.
They hate that caramel dipping sauce thing, so they just eat the apples and they're fine.
So why do McDonald's corporate executives in Illinois care what this California mom says about their food? Well, because lots and lots of other moms are listening to her, about 30,000 reader blog each month.
Mom bloggers are a very tight-knit community, and they're very, very networked. They're very linked in, and they spread information very, very quickly.
Rick Wyan is director of social media for McDonald's, so it's no surprise he's tweeting and Facebooking about company news, such as healthier Happy Meals. But it doesn't stop there. Last year, when the company wanted to launch its new oatmeal, where did it go to test the waters? To the Blog Her Conference, a huge gathering of women bloggers. Stefania remembers tasting the oatmeal there.
I have to say, you know, McDonald's oatmeal was delicious. It had fresh chopped apples and raisins and cranberries, I believe.
And Stefania was only one of many, many bloggers to try the oatmeal, which has now become a big seller. Now, bloggers don't always dish out complimentary things about McDonald's. In fact, often it's quite the opposite. Moms are resentful about the bombardment of advertising towards their kids. They rant about ingredients and toys with movie tie-ins. Some moms have even sued McDonald's over these complaints. But Wyan says his goal with mom bloggers, who he considers to be key influencers, is to court them.
Moms listen to other moms more than they do lots of other folks.
And with this authentic voice, they sway one another. In an effort to build on his relationship, Wyan's team is taking mom bloggers on field trips to its corporate headquarters and to farms that supply McDonald's foods. They're even starting an invitation-only community for the most influential bloggers. So is this something that City Mama would want to do?
I would probably say I would have to think about it. I would say the focus of my blog is a little bit different, perhaps, of what they actually would want to target. But I would be open to hearing more about their initiatives and what they're trying to do.
And Rick Wyan of McDonald's says he's happy to have a conversation with Stefania about joining his community. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
The Massachusetts-based Dunkin' Donuts chain goes public today, trying to become a national cult brand. Kurt Nickisch reports from member station WBUR in Boston.
Dunkin' Donuts stores in New York City and Boston are as common as bad drivers here.
They serve a very good quality coffee in a very unpretentious way.
That's consultant Darren Tristano from the firm Technomic. He says people think of Dunkin' as a donut chain, but it actually makes most of its money selling coffee and other drinks. That makes Seattle-based Starbucks Dunkin's main competitor.
I don't like Starbucks.
That's loyal Dunkin' customer Joe Fine sipping coffee at one of the donut shops in Boston. No Wi-Fi in the place, no hip music either, but Fine doesn't care.
Doesn't have a lot of atmosphere, but I normally don't sit in one. I normally get it to go.
Dunkin' wants to take its basic blue-collar style to more parts of the country. Just listen to its TV commercials.
Anyone can be a hero with a new Captain America Cherry Coulada from Dunkin'. Get yours for a limited time only. America runs on Dunkin'.
Well, not yet. Right now, Dunkin' has just one store for every million people in the western part of the U.S. But with money from its IPO, Dunkin' plans to invest more in marketing and new franchises. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nickisch in Boston.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 27th of July, 2011. 1789, on this date, the U.S. Department of Foreign Affairs was created. Congress had approved it a week before. President George Washington signed it into law on this date. It was the first federal agency created under the new Constitution. Congress was carrying out its business in New York City Hall, and so the first Department of Foreign Affairs office was located at Francis.